you guys can't see it, but there is actually a small campfire down here
yes.
on the floor.
Yeah.
It's in my pants.
On fuego.
Spicy. Welcome to the Wolverine Patrol. It's me, it's Jack, it's Ron. We're all hanging out in this this beautiful world we call hell.
In the beautiful town called Cincinnati, where politics are a shining beacon for the entire country.
It sucks that Michigan gets a hell, but Ohio doesn't. We deserve hell, Ohio.
Yeah. No, we have hell as real Ohio.
Oh, that's true. That place. Oh, my God. I love that sign.
That's so right good. Next to Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
Yep.
Sure is it? No, it's not.
It's like an hour or two down from it.
Yeah. An hour? Yeah. I was about to say, one's in Ashland. The other one's in like... I don't know, near Washington Courthouse, I think. Mm. I've driven 71 way too many fucking times, people. My dad's whole family lives in Cleveland. I grew up in Cincinnati. I have driven... I know more about... one of my favorite things in the entire world is in Mansfield, Ohio, right off the exit, there is a shutdown strip club that says entertainment time, but the E is falling off the sign, so it says entertainment Tim. I think about that sign... Couple times a week, probably.
Amazing.
Couple times a week. And that is actually close to Grandpa's Cheese Barn. We're Ohio's number one Ohio podcast now.
Yeah.
We finally did it.
We made it.
Hell yeah, boys. Hell yeah.
The Cheese Barn reminds me of Sandusky, where there's that gigantic, like, imported cheese shop. And that, like, it has, like, on the outside, like, 125 different kinds of cheese. And you're just like, that is the most Ohio thing that I can possibly
And I love that fucking place. Like, let's not...
It's amazing. The cheeses are so good.
Oh, Grandpa's Cheese Bar?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. I love it. Yeah.
But enough about cheese. We could talk about cheese all day.
Talk about cheese.
I was going to say, I could talk about Ohio all day. But first, I want to talk about... Oh, what's his name?
P.G.
Sittenfeld. P.G. Sittenfeld.
Yeah. This episode is rated PG.
For P.G. Sittenfeld.
Yeah.
So, you may have heard we've had a couple arrests on the Cincinnati City Council. And I love reading... Hold on, where's PG? Why did PG go away? Here he is. You guys might want to learn a little bit about... You didn't know much about PG going into today, did you?
No, but I now read you that do. Article that you posted.
Amazing. What a guy. How old was he? 27 when he got on Cincinnati City Council. He became the youngest person ever elected to Cincinnati City Council in 2011 when he was 27 years old. And he just got arrested a couple weeks ago. He's the third city council member to be arrested in what, like 3 months?
Something like that.
Holy shit. Yeah, it rocks. But I want this as like a tattoo. The thing that is, it's all very dumb and boring. He was taking bribes from gentrifiers to let them gentrify. Snore, right. Whatever, who gives a shit?
Old news in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I was about to say, him and everybody else, goddamn same bullshit corruption charges. But my favorite thing in the Wikipedia article is, the indictment includes allegations that Sittenfeld shook down developers that with the promise of support or threat of opposition for their projects. Yeah, he was blackmailing them. In one example, Sittenfeld said to a developer that who is a cooperating witness, you don't want me to, like, hey, be like, hey, cooperating witness, like, love you, but can't. Hold on, let me reread that. You don't want me to, like, comma, be like, comma, hey, cooperating witness, comma, like, comma, love you, comma, but can't.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
to me.
I was about to say.
So also, just to clarify in this, it wasn't him receiving bribes. He was trying to procure bribes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah,
so just
directly
to clarify that. Yeah.
Oh, no,
soliciting bribes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was literally like going around town like an old mafioso, like, yeah, maybe you give old Sittenfeld a cut and your store doesn't burn down.
That's
maybe
a nice,
that.
Hey, that's Ooh, a nice that's a nice amazing. Homeless shelter you got there. It'd be a shame if it turned into an artisanal cupcake shop. You know what I mean?
You know.
Oh, but here's the best part. So Sittenfeld went to great lengths to hide his payments, which he was totally taking, using a federal campaign account, which he believed people did not connect to him. There is a PAC. The PAC that has a name not connected to. One, basically no one knows about it. And two, my name and no filings and no paperwork or no anything is connected to it. If it goes that this PAC, instead of to Sittenfeld for Cincinnati, Nothing about it in any way will ever be connected to me, or no one will, you know. No, anyone's poking around because nobody's. So as long as he doesn't put his name on it,
yeah,
it's nobody will know it was him.
That's how PACs work.
This feels like it's on the same level of that Arrested Development quote of they can't arrest a husband and wife for the same crime.
Yes.
As long as he like puts the money in a pack. So when he was just putting the money in a pack. That was called, like, the, I don't know, Big Titty Yum Yum Pack.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, B.G. Sittenfeld doesn't have Big Titty Yum Yums. Clearly, that can't be his money that he took from the developers and Over the Rhine.
We'll never look there.
Oh, that rhyme.
I'm so glad you brought up Arrested Development, because I feel like half of these, like, development corporations in Cincinnati are exactly like the Bluth
God
Company.
Damn it. I'm sorry. This makes me so mad, and I love them. Look, Liz just said in the Twitch chat, PG Sittenfield? More like PG Shittenfield, am I right? As a comedian, you, like, kick yourself for, like, not writing certain jokes, and that's what I'm at right now with this.
PG Shittenfield?
Shittenfield.
Man. If it goes to this pack instead of to Sittenfeld for Cincinnati, nothing about it in any way will ever be connected to me.
Yeah. How's that?
Man, these guys are so bad at doing crime. It rocks.
I wish we'd need more politicians who's good at crime.
Yeah. I was about to say. Also, yeah, I forgot that he ran for Senate. United States like Senate in 2015. Yeah.
Wow.
When he was like, what, 31 years old, probably?
Good for PJ.
And, yeah, no, PJ. Oh, good for you, buddy. He lost to former Governor Ted Strickland.
Oh,
and by lost, I mean absolutely ate shit. I mean, ate fucking shit in that primary. It was so, I think his father-in-law like bankrolled the whole thing. Or his dad, it rocked, dude. It was so funny. He focused heavily on gun control issues. That plays really well.
Yeah,
in Southwestern Ohio, yeah. Claiming he would support reforms such as a federal ban on assault weapons and comprehensive background checks for gun purchasers. On January 28th, Sittenfeld announced a proposed amendment restore the home rule authority on gun culture or gun control. Man, what a loser.
Yeah, Jesus. I'm actually pretty happy about the fact that if they try to do anything with gun control during this Congress, that the Supreme Court's just going to spike it into the dirt.
Hell yeah.
Like, I don't think they're going to do shit about gun control for a long, long time because, like, right now, the court precedence is that the states just, like, make their own rules about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there actually was some sort of, like, big overarching federal gun control ban and the Supreme Court was able to just pick it apart the way that they've been able to pick apart Obamacare.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's just, like, any of the reforms that the liberals want to talk about would just go down one by one.
Yeah, one could say that the Supreme Court would go, yeah, like, I love you, but can't.
But can't.
But can't.
Can't.
It sounds like, why does P.G. Sittenfeld talk like Hades from Hercules? He talks like James Woods. You're, like, not even 40 years old. Why do you talk like
I don't know why this reminds me. I was so mad that I didn't know this existed. Did you know there's a TV made-for-TV movie about Rudy Giuliani's life? Starring James Woods
as Rudy Giuliani.
It's total. I had no idea it existed.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
It's so him.
We should just like live stream us watching that one night.
That would rock. Honestly, I would. Yeah, I would absolutely watch that.
I'm picturing
with
James Woods with the like the hair dye running.
Yeah,
down.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
It could only be James Woods, folks. Oh, hey, Jason. Jason wanted me to say his name.
Hi, that's Jason. Cool.
Hello. Hell yeah.
Everybody who's listening to this in podcast form is real confused right now.
Hi, Jason.
Yeah, they're all like, what?
Yeah.
Hi, Jason.
So, question, who do we think's getting arrested next? That's what Liz wants to know.
Who do we think's getting arrested next?
Yes.
Probably more protesters,
if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but really, I don't know. I don't really know.
Well,
who else is part of that gang
of
five?
Here's my question I think could probably open up on this.
Yeah.
Are we, with these arrests, are we seeing more of it's people who are accepting bribes or people who are trying to procure bribes?
I think accepting them, mostly.
Okay. All right.
Because I think, okay, now let's see if I can find the names. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, Cincinnati's always had a big, like, organized crime type of element to
it. Oh, yeah.
And so, like, these things have been going on for the entire history of the city of
Cincinnati. I read a really interesting book called The Ghost of Eden Park. I do not remember this guy's name, but during Prohibition, he was a bootlegger. And if I'm remembering this number correctly, it's around this number, if not it. At like the height of Prohibition, 70% of like bootleg booze was coming from this guy who was based his operation out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, the Ohio River made it really convenient to take the booze from the hills and bring it down into the city.
So another thing that PG was caught up in a couple of years ago was the texting scandal, which, so when you ask me who do I think is going to be arrested next, well, Tamia and PG have already been arrested. The other three members of the supposed Gang of Five are Craig Landsman, Chris Seelbach, and Wendell Young. So let's just guess one of those
guys. And Liz just got me. That guy's name was George Remus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, George Remus. Yeah, the big boot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ghost of Eden Park is a book I highly recommend if anybody.
Oh, yeah. No, I've definitely, yeah, we've been to the pavilion down there where she got murked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pretty wild. But, yeah, that was a thing that happened 2 years ago. And they had to pay $101,000 to settle a lawsuit against them. Pretty much five Democrats on the Cincinnati City Council just decided that they were going to conduct business and work things out off the record in a private text chat, which is incredibly illegal and not allowed.
No, is that not how democracy is supposed to work?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to talk to each other out in the open.
But they're group chats.
The group chats, exactly.
Well, and that's funny because they used like an unencrypted, just like a regular old group chat on their phones. Like they didn't use like a private messenger app or anything.
Which is, like, that's Signal. Very clear that none of them smoke weed because none of them had none Signal.
Of them, yep. None of them had to Signal. Like get a hold of a guy. Yeah, absolutely.
How's that whole FC Cincinnati thing working out this year?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that's really brought a lot of money.
So much money in business.
Yeah, it's been really great.
Incredible.
It's been awesome. Wow, what a cool place to live.
It's great that they demolished people's houses to build that stadium.
It was pretty cool. The tentative they pretty much had to settle a lawsuit because they just like decided to conduct business and figure out things that they're supposed to be doing in public meetings like ahead of time to fuck with the mayor.
Which is awesome. Yeah, it's like, can you funny. Imagine like the mayor being totally out of the loop and trying to run the meetings and everybody just like,
well, apparently
I motion for the mayor to suck my dick. I second that motion.
Oh, that's pretty good. Now, let me see. They were shit on the mayor too. It was really, really funny.
What's hilarious too is that like the House Speaker and the like Ohio House Speaker just went down for corruption, and like two or three members of the Ohio House of Representatives went down for corruption. Like,
yeah,
it's just amazing how wildly corrupt politics is in this state, like from top to bottom.
It's
like,
so good.
Amazing.
Jesus. Maybe. But you can almost say that about anywhere, though, really, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I guess, how blatant they are about it. Whereas Chicago kind of had the whole mafia thing and the history of that behind it. I think it's more just how blatant they are about it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Let's see here.
Like, the State House one was for the nuclear plant up on Lake Erie. I guess they gave him, like, a huge cut of, like, this multi-billion dollar infrastructure investment that he passed for it.
Nice.
It was the tune of like $70 million that this dude got for whipping votes to pass this like public funding for this privately owned power station.
Very cool.
Awesome. Good stuff. And like that power plant is notorious up there on Lake Erie for like making three-eyed fish and shit.
Man.
It's just like The Simpsons. It's just like The Simpsons. The Simpsons is a perfect representation of rural American life.
Yeah. The Simpsons predicted radiation poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
Among the texts were juvenile discussions of city employees' sexuality, messages mocking members of the public who attended city council meetings and contacted city council. They literally just sat around and were like, look at that dipshit who came to the meeting and told us he didn't know.
This sounds like a group chat between coworkers. What's the problem?
Exactly.
Here?
Yeah, like
Jeff's gay and that dude who came in 5 minutes before we closed fucking sucks.
Yeah. Yep, except it's the city council. Yeah.
Man. I want to say this was the thing where they said only John Cranley would think we need a bus to the precinct restaurant or whatever. Just about like how an out of touch shithead he is.
Yep.
Our mayor. one of the great goblin Americans to run in politics.
Truly.
Truly. How long have we been doing this already?
Oh man, we're at 15 minutes on the dot, baby.
Man, yeah. Baby. Yeah. Yeah, we don't really have an organization to this episode. We just kind of are trying to do. We're experimenting with. We're going to. What are we going to call this episode? Experimenting with live stream.
We can. I just named the live stream the San Diego of the Midwest.
Nice. Nice. That's us. We're in a microclimate down here.
The Gang of Five's efforts cost approximately $500,000 and resulted in the additional cost to fire a city manager and cost to hire outside lawyers to defend the lawsuit and ultimately in paying the fines and the attorney's fees as part of the agreed order resolving the lawsuit. Damn. So what, did we foot the bill on that whole thing?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, obviously. Baby. Woo!
That's how public money works.
Hell yeah, dude. I wonder if PG's still running for... Oh, yeah, he was also the front runner to be mayor.
Yeah.
Hell yeah,
like,
dude.
He made borderline mayoral ads, more or less.
Hell yes, dude. Oh, my God.
Which is almost like a trailer for a trailer. Like, oh, they man. Do that now.
Who's going to run? Who else is going to... Nobody. Oh, man. David Mann is, like, the only other person running, and everyone hates him because he's the guy who goes to the meetings and is like, quiet down. You're all too angry about the police.
Oh, yeah, that's going to sell
that,
well.
That, and it did. It did. It turned into a lot of angry yelling at a lot of meetings for a few months there. And yeah, that rocks, good. Honestly. If you were part of those protests, you rock, and we love you. And, yeah. P.G. Sittenfeld told me I was Gucci once. Oh, that's really nice of him.
Holy shit. Really? Did that gaming groove, did that really happen?
Gucci.
He said you were Gucci?
Holy shit.
That's such a Cincinnati thing to say.
That's such like a Beto thing to say.
Two times, Gucci, Gucci, two times. Did he call you Gucci, Gucci, though?
Yeah.
Because that's how you really know you've made it.
I feel like every Ohio city has like the lexicon that's like 2 or 3 years behind New York and Los Angeles. Like all the cool words that people are saying and everything, we use them like way, we're about 2 or 3 years behind in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 1,000%.
Jesus Christ. So how many, do we know how many in total have been arrested?
Three.
Three in total.
I believe Tanya Denard, Jeff Pastor, and P.G. Sittenfeld.
And that's within the span of like 3 months.
Yeah, let me look it up, but I believe that is correct, yes.
So, I mean, I guess the question is at this point, I mean, and I asked you guys this before we even started recording, sure, you can throw the shacks on the people who are accepting the bribes, but I haven't heard anything done about the people who are doing the bribing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to arrest them? Are
of
they?
Not.
Yeah, that's like.
Why would we do that?
Yeah,
those people are job creators, Ron.
Yeah,
those people brought in development to this to Cincinnati. Don't you know what this city was?
Yeah, it's
like
all pretty much
the
same shit. Honestly, Denard admitted to accepting a total of $15,000 from a business in the city in exchange for votes of this. God, why don't we get cool corruption? How come we don't get, like, New Jersey corruption?
Yeah, we had that, and we had that before in, like, the late 80s and 90s, and the city was basically run by the mafia there for
very
about
cool.
a decade, which
that's
is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah,
man, that rocks.
No. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, Cincinnati just got this, like, absolute perfect storm of being, like, the typical Rust Belt city where all the industry just evaporated fucking overnight.
Oh, yeah.
And you had just, like, these massive poor neighborhoods in Cincinnati that were just filled with all kinds of, like, drugs and crime because there was no
nothing.
Opportunity was
nothing,
nothing
at all.
Like, yeah. You couldn't even go get a job at fucking Kroger. Like, just desolate neighborhoods. And, God damn it, yeah. It set
and then
the
we came back in
this.
And said, we have to save these neighborhoods.
Well, by save these neighborhoods, what they meant was that venture capitalists finally said, okay, we think these property values are at rock bottom now, and we're going to swoop in and we're going to scoop up every last
turn
rock.
Them all into fancy restaurants and kick everybody out.
Yeah. And they it's sure like did. Just, it's a gentrification story as old as time, man. And it
somebody
ripped through this town.
Somebody in the Twitch chat asked who assassinated the Iranian official?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, can we go from Cincinnati to Tehran for a second?
Yeah. So
well, not now because we can't fly anywhere.
Oh, damn. Yeah, you're right.
Certainly not to Tehran.
But in the magic of our minds.
No, but the official statement from the Iranians is that they think that the Mossad did it. So, like, I mean, and that I would see that. I could see that. Like, everybody knows.
What was the point of Mossad assassinating that guy?
So, he was a top nuclear scientist.
Oh.
And he was working on developing an atomic bomb for the Iranians. He was working on trying to figure out how to actually build one. Because I guess, you know, the nuances of actually creating an atomic bomb are difficult to figure out.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, to say the least. And
that's I take a little bit of comfort in that, actually.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a very basic idea, but, like, right. The actual how-to is quite difficult and top secret, and if you don't know how, it takes a very brilliant scientist to figure it out. Like, not just anybody can figure out how to build one of these things.
Jeez.
And so that's, like, and that's pretty typical of U.S. policy, of U.S. and, you know, Israeli policy in the Middle
right.
East, is to just kill off the people that are getting close to the right answer because, you know, a lot of those countries have been brain drained by the United States and the Western Bloc
sure.
over the course of the past like 40, 50 years. And so they don't have a whole lot of scientists that are, you know, willing to put their neck out like that as being the person who's going to develop that bomb. So I think that twofold, like one, it was to stop him from actually developing it, but also two, to try and dissuade other people from coming forward and trying to develop one for the Iranians.
Yeah, Jason said it definitely reeks of Kidan, the Israeli Special Operations Group.
Well,
yeah.
No, he was calling me Jason. I'm this striped shirt. I call this my metrosexual evil Jason shirt because that's really what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Evil yeah, Jason. No, I definitely agree that it reeks of Israel. But
could be,
yeah.
Could very well be.
Ultimately, I don't think Iran's gonna. They're not gonna respond. They're not gonna be drawn into some kind of a confrontation by being provoked like that. Not at this critical juncture, because I think that what the Iranians are counting on is the fact that the Biden team is going to be willing to play ball with them again.
At least quite a bit more than Trump.
Yeah, quite a bit more than Trump, because Trump rejected the Iranians on sort of a really basic, ugly, like, we don't like, you know, those brown people over there type of deal.
Yeah.
And, like, just kind of pulling up, like, the anti-Iranian sentiments from the past
right.
couple decades for his populist nastiness.
Yeah.
Versus I think that, like, the Obama government and then, again, the Biden government are looking at an Iran that is so over being under international sanctions that they are willing to allow U.S. corporations to utilize their resources in ways that they were not previously as part of the Iran nuclear deal. And so the opening up of those markets and the lifting of those sanctions, ultimately, I think they think is going to be better for them than keeping their current path of, you know, bad relations with the U.S. and lots of sanctions.
Sure.
And I don't think that they're going to do anything out of line to put that in right. jeopardy. Because if they give Biden no choice, he would
right.
gladly kick off another war.
And, like, at the end of the fucking day, like, what's there's no buy-in for the American people anymore. Like, you're not going to be able to get people to buy into a fucking any kind of a conflict with Iran or even anything
no.
really close to that. And I think that, you know,
but I think that if there was some kind of a attack on Israel, that you might see that change. That they would at least. I think that if there was a direct attack on Israel, or if there was some kind of like major retribution that the Iranians did against like an Israeli or an American target, aside from just shooting a couple of rockets over, you know,
right.
an American airbase, which they did.
Yeah.
You know, but again, all those things were provoked.
Right.
But doing something major.
You don't see it happening? No.
Because they're waiting for the Biden administration to come in where they can just kind of smooth everything over and go back to everybody making money.
Yeah, what's even the point of this? Is the Trump... I guess that would be the next thing we can kind of talk about here is like... So what is Trump going to do for the next 2 months? Is his administration just going to hate fuck everybody? Is that pretty much their plan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll even talk about this. This might seem wild, but I wouldn't put it past him to cause as much fucking damage as possible, because they know Biden comes in, he's going to bear the brunt of that responsibility.
Right.
Like, when the shit hits the fan, that's just how, like, you know, the human psyche works.
Right.
Whoever's president right now, it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I don't know. That's a weird
thing. No, I definitely think that it definitely behooves the Republicans to get their person out of the White House right now, because I think with COVID and everything else, like, a massive recession is coming. I think the housing market's going to talk about it. That's going to pop again. It definitely is not beneficial for them to be
yeah.
there dealing with the brunt of all those problems, especially when they know their opponent is so ill-equipped to deal with those problems. I mean, at the end of the fucking day, what are the Democrats going to give everybody? A means-tested, Pell Grant that helps them buy food for in exchange for starting seven small businesses in underdeveloped neighborhoods. Like, that's what they're gonna fucking, that's what you're gonna fucking get. The fact that they're already like compromising with themselves on like student loan forgiveness, which, make no fucking mistake, they've got to do something like in the next couple years, or like that housing market, if people are not like our age are not buying houses as the boomers are dying, this is going to be a fucking problem. Mm-hmm. And if people are burdened down by student loan debt, they're screwed.
Somebody has even proposed the point that the way that the housing market kind of bubbled, cars might start to see something of the same effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're, it's a oversaturated market.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if kids, you know, if, and when I say kids, I mean people our age and younger and a little older, even if this generation doesn't have that, you know, $500-$600 a month to put into a car payment and a mortgage or whatever, you know, because they're paying fucking rent still, and they're paying, you know, they're paying off these, you know, hundreds of dollars a month on their student loans that never move. That whole market's going to go, it's going to implode on itself again.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that like we, you know, we start at what, $50,000, and we're already down to like 10 grand. Like, fuck off.
They're not doing anything.
Yeah. They're not going to do shit. They're the fact shit. That they're already like compromising with themselves that heavily, like, it sucks.
Yeah. Well, I think that what you're going to see from the Biden administration is a more hawkish foreign policy and more adept maneuvering on the geopolitical stage to try and do some of the like neo-colonial maneuvers that we knew from the Bush and the Obama and the, even the Clinton days.
Yeah.
Like the IMF and the World Bank and kind of that like more shady, less direct military, less direct national rhetoric type of stuff that just kind of all happens behind the scenes.
Right.
That brings prices of commodities down in the United States.
Mm.
That brings, you know, that helps the United States temporarily by sucking more resources from the global periphery into the imperial core, improving conditions at least for a small time. I think that that's going to be kind of his... That's the only strategy that I can see that him reasonably employing.
Right.
Yeah.
Is something like that. Using a State Department full of the old Bush hawks that's going to be able to do the type of regime change things that they haven't been able to pull off in a decade, you know? Like, the last couple of times that the U.S. has tried to do regime change, it hasn't fucking worked. You know, Assad's still in power.
Yeah.
You know, Libya is a shithole. They did manage to take out Gaddafi, but they didn't manage to put in a sympathetic government.
No. You know? Now they're just trading slaves in the fucking streets.
Yeah, like now you know, Libya is fucking Ethiopia is falling apart too now. They've got war brewing and a refugee crisis going in Sudan now.
Great. Yeah, love to see it.
Great.
Love that to see it.
The whole area has just been totally destabilized.
It's fantastic. We love to see it, folks.
But destabilization is good for U.S. transnational corporations because they can just swoop in and take everything up on the cheap, you know?
Yay! Profiteering!
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they want us to cast Cincinnati City Council in the movie about the scandals.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man. All right.
I gotta pull up pictures.
Yeah, I was like, can you put pictures up or something?
Hold on. Let me see here. Where's my mouse? I gotta at least look at him. What is PG? I'm just gonna assume that everybody looks like everybody's fucking dad.
Oh, 100%.
That's okay. So, Ed right. Helms as whoever. He can so be whoever.
All right. So, Chris, first off, we have Vice Mayor Chris Smitherman. I'm getting kind of a like a.
You can show it to the camera if you want.
Oh, right. I can?
I'll adjust up my iPhone right up there. So.
Yeah, this is
Chris. This guy.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. I don't know, man. I'm kind of getting like a...
Oh, Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, that's Keegan-Michael Key.
Okay. Right there. Okay.
That's Keegan-Michael Key. All right, nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I was going to say Giancarlo Esposito.
I was thinking that too, but he's way too intimidating, man. We know this. All right, next we got Chris Seelbach. Who's playing Seelbach?
Let me get a little better look at that.
Not James Corden, no.
No. I could go James Corden for that.
You'd go James Corden for the Seelbach?
If he can do an American accent, sure.
No, who's the guy from fucking Step Brothers? The guy who goes, pow!
Oh, who? That's that guy.
Rob Riggle?
Rob Riggle.
Rob Riggle with blonde hair?
Yeah, with a dye job? Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I can live with Rob Riggle. So we got Keegan-Michael Key and Rob Riggle. We got Greg Landsman. Now that, I think that's got to be Stanley Tucci.
Maybe.
No, Stanley Tucci's too old, I think, now.
John Malkovich.
John Malkovich?
John Malkovich.
Nice.
He looks too young to be John Malkovich.
Yeah, he is too young to be Malkovich.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a good question. Fuck.
You know who I'm thinking? I'm thinking that guy who was just on The Crown. He plays the leader of the homeless guys in Sherlock.
I've never seen either.
You know who I'm talking about?
Okay.
I can't remember his name. He's a very good, I don't know, whatever.
Anthony Fantano.
Perfect. Yeah, Anthony, boom. Perfect. Anthony Fantano. Anthony Fantano, love it.
Done.
Council member Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney. What? I didn't even know that was a person. What? Honor.
That's not a real name.
Oh, yeah.
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey.
Yeah, I could see it. That would work.
All right, sure.
Yeah.
What the hell? David Mann. All right, I think we're going Anthony Hopkins for this. Look at those eyebrows. Holy shit. Woo! Look at those fucking eyebrows.
Oh, my God.
You can't even probably see. Well, you probably can see him. Damn.
Jesus. Anthony Hopkins.
I don't know, man. Anthony Hopkins, Jim Baker.
Okay.
He's the fucking televangelist, Jim Baker.
Yeah, yeah. The guy from the 700 Club.
Pat Robertson?
Yeah.
Jeff Pastor. Finally, on to one of the guys who gets arrested. We need a charming lead for this one, folks. Who's going to play our favorite Republican polyamorous atheist?
How tall is he? Because we might be able to get Kevin Hart.
I don't know. He was in the Navy Reserve or something.
Ice Cube.
No, Ice Cube's too old.
You think so?
Yeah. Cube's too old.
Cube's too old. Fuck, man. I don't know.
I could see Kevin Hart as him.
Yeah. Kevin Hart. There you go. All right. Well, we'll have Kevin Hart. Well, let's just say Kevin Hart. That would be perfect. P.G. Sittenfeld.
All right, this motherfucker.
That's going to have to be Eddie Redmayne, right? Or some generic-looking man like that. Look at this fucking guy.
How old is he, like 30s?
He's like in his probably... Well, okay, he was 27 in 2011 when he was on... So it's almost 10... Yeah, he's in like his mid to late 30s now.
Huh. Ed Helms could pull that off.
All right, that's Ed Helms.
That's Ed Helms.
Yeah. All right, perfect.
Yeah.
Betsy Sunderman, the one who... had that insane thing that, like, wow, there isn't even a picture of her. She's so new. She was, like, appointed. She's the one who, like, had that whole thing about, like, how we could never... They were going to pass that thing about how we could never defund the police.
Yeah, let me see. Let me get a good look at her. Ooh. Okay. Melissa McCarthy.
All right, perfect. Boom, Melissa McCarthy. Bada bing. Wendell Young.
Gonna have to extend her forehead, though.
Okay, now this guy, I'm thinking...
Craig Robinson.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. All right, perfect. All right, we did it.
I should be a casting director. What am I doing?
I think you should be.
Yeah. Living in Cincinnati.
Well, talking about Cincinnati gangster movies.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well...
How long have we been on?
We're at 32 minutes right now.
Jesus.
Yeah. And we have already casted a Netflix Oscar winner.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've done
it. So look at what we got. We got it going.
We got it moving.
I guess I'll just say this. If this really seems to be something that's starting to come to light, that multiple politicians are being arrested for the same thing, what is the end result or goal of this? Because on the one hand, you want to be cynical and be like, well, nothing's going to happen. Well, obviously something is happening. They're arresting city council members. So... what is the end result of this? Is it an empty victory that we'll probably get?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, it's just, there's already articles about like the power grab for their seats when they inevitably have to resign.
Oh yeah, they will, yeah.
And there are already articles about how nasty that's going to get. So they'll just be replaced by the other shitheads who will do the same thing.
Bobby Moynihan is Seelbach. How did I not think of that?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Bobby Moynihan is
Seelbach? Yeah, well, Bobby Moynihan as Seelbach.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
All right, into it. Absolutely into it.
I'll call Dick Wolf right now.
Do it.
I still have his phone number.
Hell yeah.
Really?
No, I don't.
I was about to say, hell yeah. Dude.
I said hello to the man once.
See?
Yeah.
That's more contact than I've ever had with Dick Wolf in my entire life.
That's fine.
Well, I think that's been a pretty good live stream here.
Yeah.
I think we're ready to maybe put this one in the books unless anyone's got any other exciting things to talk about. I mean, I guess we could sit here and speculate on Trump's transition and...
I don't know, man. I think that's pretty much a sealed deal at this point.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the man wouldn't miss a golf game for a coup. I don't think he's going to, like, risk going to prison. So
yeah.
Who cares?
No.
He's going to yell and scream for a couple months. He's going to keep having his stupid rallies where everyone coughs COVID into each other's faces. And then that'll be it. And then he'll bounce, I guess. And then go start the Trump News Network.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw somebody talking online that they were like, you know, the Biden administration is going to totally go after Trump for all of his crimes. And even if it's not Biden, it's going to be the New York South, the Southern District of New York.
Okay, buddy.
And the response comment was, can you please direct me to the prison where they are holding Hillary Clinton? Remember all that shit about lock her up?
Yeah.
And how, like, Trump was like, oh, I'm going to have the Justice Department investigate all of her business links and all of her
But at the end of the day, that's exactly it. I have a feeling low-key the new guard of the Justice Department is going to go in. They're going to go to New York and they're going to be like, guys, let's just...
You're going to spark a fucking civil war if you put this man in jail.
Yeah.
Seriously, you are going to spark a fucking civil war.
But if you think for a single second that, if you actually think he's going to go to jail for Have you ever been in America? You ever visited?
A rich
person. Do you
know
what it takes to put a billionaire in jail?
Yeah.
Like, they've got to do heinous shit. And even then, they don't go to jail for very long. They go to jail for like a few weeks tops. Yeah. You know?
And they get to go to work and get weekend reprieves and shit like Epstein did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Need to talk about the fact that Ohio has deemed Montgomery County and Franklin County as purple on their advisory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Purple rain.
Purple rain.
And I'm just like, okay, so what does that mean? You know, are we going to do anything differently?
No.
No, not at all. No, there's no change in any of the procedures or anything. We're just letting you guys know that it's really bad out there right now. Yeah. It's like,
cool, man. Thanks. Cool, man. Yeah, I guess we got a curfew, but
everybody's still got to go to work.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I know. I was talking about the curfew with Jenna, and I was just like, you know, I think that what the purpose of the curfew was to stop everybody from going back to their houses and having house parties after the bars closed at 10 o'clock. Because, like, the bars have been closing at 10. All the alcohol has to be off the table by 11. So everybody's just been like, well, fuck it. We'll just go back to Mike's house and we'll drink there and we'll have a great big fucking COVID party.
Right.
You know? And that was contributing to the spread. So now they're trying to, like, make it so that cops can, like, crack down on people throwing parties after 10 p.m.
Right. Oh, that's
which they have explicitly said that they're not going to do.
Yeah.
No. Yay!
I mean, somebody, I don't know who said it like this, but they phrased it perfectly that the Ohio 10 p.m. curfew is basically, don't go anywhere after 10 p.m. unless you have somewhere to be after 10 p.m.
Damn,
that's
dude.
That's exactly what it fucking was.
Nailed it.
I was talking, so I was on Facebook, right? And I was talking with this guy that I knew from college who lives kind of up near like Salina, up in that area. And one of the commenters on there, post was talking about like, so what do you think that the cops could actually enforce this? And I was like, yeah, I do think that the cops could actually enforce this. And they were like, well, the cops don't have the resources to do that. I'm like, the cops have
they're the only people with resources.
Yeah, I'm like, they have half of the municipal budget in most places around the entire country. They have all the resources, right?
Yeah, they're the only one with resources,
with real resources. Yeah. Yeah, and like the potential to just ask for more and get it whenever they need it.
Yeah,
right. And so I was like, you know, if their response was, so what? You think that the cops should institute some kind of like martial law crackdown where everybody has to stay at home and what? They just don't let people outside? And I'm like, that's what they did in Singapore. That's what they did in Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's what they did in China.
Did you see that video?
Places where they don't have positive case counts right now.
Did you see that video of like mayors in Italy literally walking the street? And people are just like out and about, and he's like, get the fuck back in your house. If I catch you in my town just hanging out on the street, I'm going to grab you and I'm going to throw you. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Yep.
That's great. Like,
can you imagine John Cranley trying to do that, though? Bringing that back up.
Hi.
Listen here, you little shit. Yeah.
There's no need for violence.
Man, that guy sucks.
Yeah. Well, and then the person just like fucking laughed it off and was like, yeah, okay, sure. And I'm like, so you guys really don't think that there should be any kind of a lockdown? Like, even though there is objective fucking evidence that strategy worked in so many other places. Yeah. Like, we just never had one here. You know?
Not a real one.
That's anymore. What we really actually fucking needed was a crackdown from the cops making everybody stay in their houses. Because people just went out and about anyway. Like, there were people at fucking Meijer and Walmart and Home Depot and stuff just wandering around.
Except that what would the application of that actually look like in society?
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's easy to say that.
It looks incredibly authoritarian and draconian. And, like, a lot of people in those other places didn't like it when their government was doing that. Because it did. It looks very violent and authoritarian, and nobody wants it when it's happening. But, like, there are places in the world now that haven't seen community spread in a month, two months.
There's sometimes when a totalitarian government does come in handy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I guess so, yeah.
We can't just say on a blanket term that, like, totalitarianism is bad. Now, we can say that granting powers to the bourgeois United States government, it could be particularly bad if they authorized new powers for themselves.
Yeah, right? Which they would do.
I've heard that argument. But my counter to that is they already have grabbed those powers. They did it in 2001 with the Patriot Act.
True.
Mm-hmm. That is a fucking bygone conclusion. All these people talking about how, like, oh, if you let the government take claim these authorities, they'll never give them back. It's like, what fucking authority do you think that they haven't claimed for themselves?
That they've given back, yeah.
Right, like, no, dude. The Patriot Act basically said, you have no rights. We can come into your shit anytime that we feel like it without a warrant. We can hold you for an indefinite period of time. We can and will assassinate you without due process.
Oh, yeah.
All of that is perfectly legal for us to do. Like, what fucking freedom do you think that you have that is going to be given away by a COVID lockdown? You know, it's just people who don't have an objective fucking analysis of where we stand in the United States politically and how much freedom we've already given up.
Yeah.
And true. How much of, like, I'll tell you what, dude, Osama bin Laden died a happy man. I'll tell you what. Like, exactly what he wanted to do, which was to make America eat itself.
Damn.
You know?
Shit. Yeah, he also played Animal Crossing a lot. And Whitney Houston, yeah. Dude,
you know what's the best? Apparently he had a copy of that documentary Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Like, on a hard drive or something in his laptop.
It's like a 9/11 conspiracy.
Yeah, it's like a 9/11, like America or whatever. Like, it was an inside job. Damn, and he had a copy of that.
What if Osama bin Laden was a 9/11?
Dude, that was the thing. Like, what if it's so good that he's watching it and it's just like 45 minutes into it, he's like,
did I do 9/11?
I don't even think I did 9/11. Like,
that rocks, dude. Oh, man.
Yeah.
We got to be at like 45 minutes.
We right? are. Like, 43 minutes.
The whole hell thing yeah, with, boy. Like, with like NORAD, they were like, how did NORAD stand down the day that 9/11 happened? It's like, no. NORAD planned those exercises for that day, and somebody told the terrorists that it was planned for that day. So they planned it on that day. Because people were like, oh, well, they picked 9/11 because it's 9/11, because that's what Americans call when they're in trouble. And they thought it was funny because they're like fucking comic book villains cackling in a room somewhere.
They just knew that would be the day that they would slip through the cracks the easiest.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody told them, like, NORAD's going to have all these scramble drills that day. You're going to be able to fly unimpeded.
I bet you'd like to know my plan, Mr. Bush.
It's exactly like that. The way that people made Osama bin Laden out to be like some kind of mastermind villain after 9/11 was just, I'm like, dude, this is just like a guy, like a rich kid who like hates his fucking parents.
Yeah.
And doesn't, and like does, like is rebelling against authority.
Hell yeah. You ever seen that, Guardian article or whatever? Where it's like new flaming hot white cheddar popcorn. And it's a picture of Osama bin Laden. And they just never fixed it.
It's been out
for like 5 years.
Is this like the wrong picture in the thumbnail?
It rocks so much.
Oh my God.
Man, Ohio's number one Osama bin Laden podcast. Honestly, an episode about Osama would be really fucking interesting.
Yeah. He's a weird guy. Between the Osama family in general and the United States and the CIA and all that, the Mujahideen.
This podcast is dedicated to the brave Mujahideen fighters.
Continue in Afghanistan. Hell yeah, dude. Man. Hilarious. Oh, all right, folks. Well, I think that about is going to do it for us. Thanks for watching or listening. We hope it wasn't too chaotic. This is more of a stream experiment. But, you know, it's not like it's not like going to be pays for this podcast yet. So, you know, that's fine. If you don't like it, then you can listen to another Boy Scout communist podcast.
Yeah.
You can go listen. Aha,
we've cornered the market. Damn. That's the implication.
You can go listen to a fucking
the Roadrunner Patrol.
Oh, man.
That other podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to come up with a really good name, but I couldn't. Oh, man. I can't. Whatever. I wanted to do a play on Bolshevik, but I couldn't think of one. So.
Bolsheviks. Was Badger one of the...
The Bolshevik Patrol.
The Bolshevik Patrol. Hell yeah. Just like the patch is like the guy from the picture of the Russian Revolution where they raised the red flag over
there you
Petersburg.
Go.
Like the...
It's just like one of those flags that every scout troop has, like the white and red flag
yes.
of their troop. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, that'll about do it for this week, folks. On our honor, we will do our best. Smash capitalism. See you next time. Bye-bye.